Good morning. Will you turn, please, to Genesis chapter 12? The last time we brought the Sunday morning message, we started on a series of mountaintop experiences. The first one we looked at was the experience of Noah and his family after the flood when the ark came to rest on Mount Ararat. This morning we're going to consider a second mountaintop experience. We're going to read quite a few verses, and I make no apology for that because I believe that it's far more important to read the Word of God than it is to talk about it. So we'll start reading at Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the oak of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram, and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land, and there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from there unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. Chapter 13, verse 1, please. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And now chapter 22, please. And it came to pass after these things that God did test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and cut the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went, both of them together. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went, both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him upon the altar, upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham!" And he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes, looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." Passage that we read in Genesis chapter 12, it tells us that Abram was 75 years old. He and his father, Terah, and his nephew, Lot, left Ur of the Chaldees, that is in Iraq, and they settled in Haran, that is in modern-day Syria. And after Terah died, Abram and the rest of his entourage continued to the land where God had bidden him to go, the land that God had chosen for Abraham, for Isaac, for Jacob, and for the children of Israel. We actually have a mountaintop experience as Abraham came into the land of Canaan. We're told that when he came into the land of Canaan, he built an altar. God had brought him into the land that he'd promised to him. And Abraham built an altar of thanksgiving. Then it says on a mountain east of Bethel, the house of God, a place that we find mentioned in Scripture many times, he built another altar, and he called on the name of the Lord. And this was an altar of worship, or an altar of consecration. The Scriptures tell us, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." We're also told in the book of Proverbs, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe." Abram called on the name of the Lord. He worshiped the name of the Lord. He consecrated himself to this God who called him and his family from way over there in Ur of the Chaldees, with a brief stop in Haran in Syria. And now here they were in the land of Canaan. But we find that problems came up. There was a famine in the land. Abram took his family down into Egypt. God didn't tell him to go into Egypt. He decided on his own to go into Egypt. Abraham faltered, went into that place which was a type of the world. And I think he had a real valley experience as he went into the country of Egypt, for a short time being out of the will of God. But God was still with Abraham. And Abraham saw to it that Pharaoh, king of Egypt, would send him back out of Egypt. And so he went. We find in the early verses of chapter 13 that Abram and his entourage came up out of Egypt, and you know they ended up right at the same place where they'd been before. And when we fail God, when we fail to do what God would have us to do, and we want to get right with God, then we have to come right back to the place where we were before and get down on our knees. And that's what Abraham did. He built an altar there, or he came to the place of the altar between Bethel and Ai, and I think that altar then became an altar of restoration. But the mountaintop experience that I want to talk about is not the altar between Bethel and Ai that he came to and to which he returned, but the altar that he built on Mount Moriah. In chapter 22, the first verse, we find God speaking to Abraham. And do you notice he only called his name once? Abraham! And Abraham answered. You know, it's like when Samuel was a child. God spoke to him when he was there in the temple. He just called his name once. Samuel! Now, as you recall, Samuel thought that it was the priest Eli that was calling to him. It wasn't. It was God himself that was calling to him. If God called your name once, would you recognize that it was God calling to you? Would you answer the way Abraham did? The way Samuel did? Or would you wonder what that message was, what that voice was that you heard? You know, I think if I'd been Abraham, I would like to have ignored the message that God brought to him, because it was a terrible message. It was a message of testing. God spoke to Abraham and he said, "Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest." Get thee into the land of Moriah, offer him there for a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I will tell thee of. You know, the Arabs claim that it wasn't Isaac that was offered, that it was Ishmael, because a lot of the Arabs are descendants from Ishmael. But the scriptures tell us that it was Isaac, the son of the promise. Ishmael was not a son of the promise. Ishmael was a son of the flesh. God gave this terrible message to Abraham. Take now thy son, mine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. Offer him, go into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering. Isaac was probably a teenager by now, if not older than that. This altar that he was to build on Mount Moriah was an altar of testing. How Abraham must have loved that son, born when he was 100 years old. We adopted our first son when I was 30 years old. My, how I loved that little boy, Jonathan. Sometimes I used to find myself wondering how I would react if God took John away from me. God did, in a way, take John away from me, because when he was in his last year in high school, he became rebellious. Didn't act the way he should. And then he took him away, in a way, a second time when he was in Vietnam. One day we got a letter from a chaplain telling us how brave John had been when he was wounded. We thought the chaplain was telling us that he'd been killed. And my, what an empty feeling in the pit of my stomach when I read that letter. Chaplain thought we would have heard from the army, but we hadn't. But we did after a while. John was on a hospital ship, and he recovered. So I found out what it would be like, in a way, to lose John. But it was nothing like this that Abraham was asked to do. Abraham was asked to actually kill his own son. I think in a way God was asking Abraham, do you love Isaac, the son whom I gave to you and Sarah? Do you love Isaac more than you love me? Do you love your children more than you love God? That's easy to do, isn't it? Every one of you who have children, grandchildren, you love them. It's natural. But there's one that you should love more, and that's God in heaven and His Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for you. God was asking Abraham in a way, do you love Isaac more than you love me? You know, Abraham answered that question. We don't find him arguing with God. We don't find him questioning God. We just find him doing what God told him to do. He took wood. He took fire in a pot. Servants, and off they went to the land of Moriah, Mount Moriah, the place where later on David would build an altar to God, a place where later on Solomon would build his temple to God. Same place, Mount Moriah. It tells us they went, both of them, together. Beautiful illustration of how God the Father and God the Son were in lockstep as Jesus Christ walked this scene. The only one who walked this scene who was totally sinless in thought and word and deed. He said, I do always those things that please the Father. Isaac didn't know what was going to happen when he got to the mountain. He asked the question, Father, here's the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb? Oh, how hard it must have been for Abraham to answer that question, my son. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. They left the servants. Abraham said, you stay here, we'll come back to you. They went all the way to the top of Mount Moriah. Abraham built that altar. And then Isaac found out what was going to happen. We don't read that he resisted the slightest bit. Again, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the men that he came to this earth to redeem, to save from their sins, when they would put him on the cross, he didn't resist one little bit, because he came to this scene to die on the cross of Calvary for you and for me. You know, Abraham passed that mountaintop test. He would have sacrificed his son. Hebrews 11 tells us that he believed that God could raise him from the dead. Doesn't say that God would raise him from the dead, but he believed that God could raise him from the dead. You know, it's like the three Hebrew children that we read about in Daniel. When Nebuchadnezzar was going to throw them into the fiery furnace for refusing to bow down to his idol, to the image of himself, they said, "Our God can deliver us. We don't know whether he's going to or not, but he can." And you know, that's the kind of faith, fellow Christians, that we must have. God can. I don't know what he's going to do, but I'm going to trust him. Maybe he doesn't want to deliver me, but I know he can. Abraham believed that God could give him Isaac back from the dead. He didn't know he was going to. But you know, God accepted Abraham's willingness for the fact, and God provided a substitute for Isaac. As Abraham was just about to plunge that knife into the heart of his son, it says the angel of God, but actually it was God himself that spoke, and he said, "Abraham, Abraham!" Well, he didn't want that knife to go down, but God could have raised him, you know. Lay not thy hand upon thy son, upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Abraham did not have to kill his son. But you know, God did have to kill his son. There was no other way of salvation except for the Lord Jesus Christ to go to Calvary and to become the sin of the world, to take upon himself your sin and mine. He became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. There was none other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. You know, we read in the scripture that Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Abraham had faith in God. We're told in Hebrews, "He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of all them that diligently seek him." I heard some months ago, somebody make the statement, somebody on the radio, I believe it was, that people are always looking for evidence of the existence of God. They said, faith is trusting in God in spite of the evidence. There is lots of evidence. All you've got to do is look around. And you know there's a God. "He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of all them that diligently seek him." Abraham had faith in God. Abraham worshiped God. He built altars. What do I worship? What do you worship? What's the most important thing in life to you? What's the most important thing in the world to you? There are all kinds of things that people worship. A lot of people worship power. A lot of people worship position. A lot of people worship money or children or homes. All kinds of things. Abraham worshiped God. You know, there's going to be a day when every person that was ever born is going to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. because God has given the Lord Jesus Christ a name that is above every name, of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth. And every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that He's Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It's going to happen. Some of those who worship Him are going to be damned in hell. Those who choose to accept Him while we're here on earth, we're going to be in glory. I was interested in Les Dobie's selection of the scripture reading this morning. I don't know whether he heard Dr. Bruce Dunn this morning, who preached on heaven. It's going to be great in heaven. It's going to be terrible in a lost eternity. Abraham honored God as well as believing in God and worshiping God. We didn't read it, but in the intervening chapters, Lot had gone down to Sodom and he was captured and taken away. Abraham and his servants went after him and rescued him. And on the way back, he met Melchizedek. I happen to believe that Melchizedek was the Lord Jesus Christ in one of the theophanies that we find in Scripture. Can't prove it, but I think he was. Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek. He gave some of his possessions to Melchizedek because he recognized that everything that he had was from God. And Melchizedek was the priest of the Most High God. And he gave tithes to him. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses burst forth with new wine. Those who don't give back to God willingly, happily, are losing tremendous blessings. Abraham honored God. Abraham talked to God. He had conversations with God. You know, we read quite a few people in Scripture who talk to God. David talked to God, and the other psalmists talked to God. Those psalms are talking, singing to God, singing praises, sometimes questioning God. Do you talk to God? That's one of the privileges we have, isn't it? Talking to God in prayer, talking to God in praise, talking to God in thanksgiving. Abraham was concerned about not having offspring, and he talked to God about it. Abraham was concerned about Lot down there in the city of Sodom and God's determination to destroy that place. Abraham talked to God about it. Nehemiah talked to God. Moses talked to God. Daniel talked to God. Paul talked to God. Do you talk to God? One of the great privileges you had. Abraham listened to God. We've mentioned before, when God called out his name, Abraham? Yes, I'm here. Oh, how important it is to be in tune with God, and how easy it is for us to get out of tune with God. Because we've still got our fleshly nature. Those of us who are saved not only have the spiritual nature that God's given to us, we're indwelt by the Spirit of God, but we still have the old fleshly nature. And they're tugging at us, tugging at each other. So important for us to make sure that our spiritual nature is nourished and fed, feeding on the Word of God, being fed by fellowship with the Lord's people, being fed by fellowship with himself, so that when God speaks to us, we'll know that he's speaking to us. He speaks to us through his word. Do you let him? Do you read his word? Oh, it's so important to read the word, to be nourished by the word of God. And you know, Abraham obeyed God. He not only obeyed God in the matter of offering up Isaac, he obeyed God first of all in leaving Ur of the Chaldees and then leaving Haran and going down into Canaan. You know, Abraham never received that land. He was always just a pilgrim, a wanderer in the land. He never received it. That land wasn't given to anyone until it was the children of Israel, after they'd gone all the way down into Egypt and been there for 400 years and then came back. Then God gave them the land. God gave Abraham the covenant of circumcision, and he was obedient about that too. You know, Abraham was blessed by God. The 22nd chapter that we read, the verses 16 and 17 said, God, well, we'll read 15. The angel of the Lord called unto Abram out of heaven a second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of thine enemies. Abraham demonstrated his faith in God by his obedience to God. Abraham was not saved because he obeyed God. His obedience was an indication of his faith in God. Abraham believed God, Paul writes in Romans, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Even if he had killed Isaac, if he hadn't trusted in God, he would have been lost. If you're here this morning and you have never yet accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, the only way you can be saved is to demonstrate faith in God's dear Son. People once asked the Lord Jesus Christ, we're told in John chapter 6, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus said, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, said Paul and Silas to the Philippian jailer. And that's still the way of salvation. And today is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day salvation. If you've never yet trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, won't you trust him this morning? Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this beautiful illustration, the way the Lord Jesus came down to this scene, was willing to go all the way to the cross of Calvary, was not only willing to go there, he did go there. And he died on the cross of Calvary, that we lost, ungodly sinners could be saved from our sins and could be brought into a place of close relationship with thyself. We thank thee for everyone in this room this morning who knows Jesus Christ as Savior. And we pray, Father, that thou'lt help us to honor him, to worship him and to serve him. We ask thee, Father, that if there are some here today who've never yet given their hearts and their lives and their souls into the keeping of thy dear Son. Thy Holy Spirit will lead them this morning to accept thy dear Son as their Savior. The Lord Jesus said, Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out.